Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Andrej Babiš is wrapping up his official visit to Washington following a White House trip. NBA player Tomasz Satoranski refused to meet the politician over his alleged STB past. And convicted killer and former fugitive Jerzy Kajenek testifies in a Brno planned murder case. Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš is wrapping up an official visit to Washington on Friday, having met U.S. President Donald Trump at the White House and visited CIA headquarters the day before. The two leaders discussed bilateral economic, defense, and security issues, as well as how proposed U.S. tariffs on the EU would affect the Czech car industry. Meanwhile, a professional Czech basketball player for the Washington Wizards says he refused to meet Mr. Babiš following that NBA team's victory at home on Thursday over the Dallas Mavericks. Point guard Tomasz Satoranski cited the politician's alleged past as a collaborator with the communist-era secret police, the STB. Mr. Babiš said he had not tried to meet the basketball player, one of the few playing in the American League. The Czech state will remain owner of a Baroque flower garden in Kroměříž, according to a ruling by the town's district court, which rejected a claim to it by the Archdiocese of Olomouc. The garden is a UNESCO-protected World Heritage Site. The Archdiocese argued it forms a coherent whole with the adjacent chateau, which the Catholic Church recovered in restitution. The humanitarian group People in Need has launched an internet application that allows borrowers to assess seizure orders against them. If the app determines a clause is illegal, it generates a petition to halt the illegal seizure order. Jerzy Kajenek, convicted of two contract murders but released on a presidential pardon in 2017, gave witness testimony on Friday in a Brno court about a planned murder. Prosecutors say a woman promised her lover 50 million crowns if he killed her husband. Mr. Kajenek, who acknowledged that he knew the suspect, said he had no knowledge about a contract killing. The average gross monthly salary in Prague stood at nearly 42,000 crowns in the fourth quarter of 2018, up 6.5% year on year. Prague salaries are the highest in the country on average, and the lowest are in the Karlovy Vary region. Nationwide, the average salary stood at 33,840 crowns, up 6.9% in annual terms. Czech tycoon Radovan Vítek has bought a portfolio of flats on London's Billionaire Row for some £55 million, this through developer CPI Property Group. CPI teamed up with a London-based private investor to buy 11 flats on the Bishop's Avenue, the paper said, citing unnamed industry sources. And finally, the weather. Rain is in the forecast for Saturday nationwide, apart from in the Zlín region. Daytime highs should range between 7 to 13 degrees Celsius. Scattered showers are also in the forecast on Sunday. I'm Brian Kennedy, and that's the news for now. You are tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Brian Kennedy. Coming up in today's program, Prime Minister Andrej Babiš is wrapping up an official visit to Washington with trips to the White House and CIA headquarters. A Czech pensioner's onion garden has yielded quite an unexpected treasure, literally, and a bit later we look back at the life and legacy of Wenceslas II, a Bohemian king whose empire stretched from the Baltic Sea to the Danube River. All that is coming up shortly, so please do stay with us. Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš and his wife Monika were received in the White House on Thursday by President Donald Trump and the U.S. First Lady. Mr. Babiš later described the meeting as friendly and constructive. Daniela Lazareva has the details.
It was the first visit to the White House by a Czech head of government in 8 years, and Andrej Babiš, whom Forbes magazine earlier dubbed the Czech Trump, had a long list of issues in his briefcase. However, before getting down to the nitty-gritty, the two leaders posed for the media and exchanged compliments, with the Czech Prime Minister stressing the things that bound the two countries from 1918 to the present day.
Our countries have been allies since the United States helped establish our first republic 100 years ago. We are allies in NATO, we commemorate our joining 20 years ago. And our soldiers are fighting alongside these U.S. soldiers against the international terrorists.
That's right.
And our bilateral business relations are growing.
Right.
Our investors are investing in the U.S. and already created thousands of jobs.
The Czech Prime Minister, who said earlier that he considered it very important to establish a good rapport with Donald Trump, made a point of highlighting how much the two had in common.
Mr. President, I watched your 2019 State of the Union address, and I perfectly understand your plan how to make America great again. I have a similar plan to make the Czech Republic great again.
President Trump responded in kind with high praise for the Czech Republic.
Czech Republic doing very, very well economically and all other respects. Very safe country, strong military, strong people. And we have a very good relationship with the Czech Republic in the United States. We do a lot of trade and a lot of just about everything you can imagine.
The niceties over, the two leaders got down to business, first in one-on-one talks and later in a broader setup that included Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Energy Secretary Rick Perry and President Trump's Security Advisor John Bolton. The two sides discussed migration, cybersecurity, the situation in Syria, bilateral cooperation in defense, nuclear energy and the trade war threatening to break out between the EU and the United States. The Czech Prime Minister later said he appealed to Donald Trump not to introduce tariffs on European goods, while the US President retorted the negotiations with the EU were difficult. The talks reportedly also touched on Donald Trump's plan for vast amounts of US liquefied natural gas to be sold to the European Union, plans which the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, once it is in operation, would undermine. Asked by President Trump what would happen if Russia cut off gas supplies, Mr. Babish reportedly said it depends on who needs who more. If gas deliveries were cut, Russia might even go bankrupt. On a lighter note, the Czech Prime Minister extended an invitation for President Trump and the First Lady to visit the Czech Republic and also invited Trump's daughter Ivanka, who has Czech roots, to attend a business forum in Prague. A lot of speculation revolved around the gift that the Czech Prime Minister brought his US host. It is reported to have been a handmade pistol with the year of Donald Trump's birth engraved on it. Not everyone in the Czech Republic approved of the choice. Commentator Tomáš Glavaňa wrote in the Daily Hospodářské noviny that given the shootings in the United States and the debate surrounding guns, some other present would have been more suitable.
Daniela Lazarova reporting. While working in his onion garden, a pensioner from the central Bohemian village of Čeliv discovered a vessel with nearly 600 coins dating back to the mid-15th century. This week, the man was rewarded for his discovery by the local authorities. Ruth Frankova has the details.
Last August, 90-year-old pensioner Miroslav Jurinček harvested onions from his garden when he noticed a small golden coin lying on the ground. He started rummaging around and eventually unearthed a vessel full of gold and silver coins. Here is how he described the moment of discovery for Czech radio.
The following day, I took a metal rake and started poking around, but I didn't see anything. So I went a bit deeper and suddenly I noticed a few more coins. So I thought, here it comes, and I dug into the ground once again. That's when I discovered the treasure. I have to admit that despite my old age, I was really surprised. In fact, I was beside myself with joy. I think the treasure is a form of compensation for last year's poor harvest caused by the drought. These coins really make up for it. Nebyl tak úrodný kvůli suchu, ale tak
vynahradil to tím nálezem těch mincí. According to Mr. Jurniček's son Zdeněk, they hit the ground right next to the vessel which contained the coins, breaking off its upper part. When they realized the extent of their discovery, they stopped digging and immediately contacted the local authorities.
Takže oni si to vyzvedávali, z toho měli největší radost.
It was the archaeologists who took the vessel out. They were really happy that they could document the unearthing of the treasure from the ground.
In total, the treasure trove contains 583 coins that were minted between the years 1350 and 1455. It is mostly low-quality small change minted in Germany and Austria, but there are also two silver groschen issued under the rule of John of Bohemia, Charles IV and Václav IV. The most valuable items are two golden Hungarian ducats issued by Sigismund of Luxembourg and Albert the Magnanimous. After being cleaned and analyzed by experts, the coins were deposited in the collections of the Museum of Podblanicko in the central Bohemian town of Vlašim. The museum's director Radovan Sáder reveals more details about the treasure.
Je to poklad, řekněme, z poloviny 15. století.
The trove dates back to the mid-15th century. It was a time of unrest and monetary crisis, which is reflected in the content of the treasure. It contains Prague groschen, but it mostly consists of smaller coins, mostly pfennigs. With regard to the volume, it is the largest discovery in Podblanicko region dating back to that era. For that amount of money, people could buy two horses, two swords, six cows, 11 pigs, and 17 pairs of shoes.
Dva meče, šest krav, 11 prasat, nebo 17 párů škorní.
On Thursday, Mr. Jurníček received a reward from the Central Bohemian region, which now owns the treasure. The coins will go on public display in autumn this year as part of an exhibition dedicated to recent archaeological discoveries in the region.
Ruth Frankova reporting. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, where it's now time for our main feature, Czech History. This week we look at the life and legacy of Wenceslas II, a Bohemian king whose empire stretched from the Baltic Sea to the Danube River. Right toward the end of their dynasty, the Przemyslids established what was effectively a short-lived Central European empire. Its pinnacle was reached during the realm of Wenceslas II, during the turn of the 13th and 14th centuries. Apart from ruling the Bohemian realm, Wenceslas also became king of Poland and secured the Hungarian crown of St. Stephen for his son. However, his weak constitution and a flash of bad luck brought the short-lived empire to a sudden end, as Tom McEncrow explains.
During the 13th century, Bohemia became an important regional power in Europe. After being elevated to a kingdom in 1212, a string of strong rulers and large silver reserves enabled the ruling Przemyslid dynasty to compete in the big league of European diplomacy. The greatest extent of power came during the rule of Wenceslas II between 1278 to 1305. Wenceslas was the son of perhaps the greatest warrior monarch of Bohemia, Przemysl Ottokar II, who went down in history under the nickname the Iron and Golden King. The epitome of an ideal medieval warrior king, Przemysl Ottokar II secured a number of duchies to the south of Bohemia, which made the kingdom stretch to the Adriatic Sea. However, his power and attempts to gain the imperial crown led him to being defeated and killed by a coalition led by the ruler of the Holy Roman Empire, Rudolf of Habsburg, at the Battle of Machfeld in 1278. Przemysl Ottokar II's death came at a time when Wenceslas was only 6 years old, and the young child, who is now de facto king, spent the first 5 years of his reign as a captive of the Margrave of Brandenburg, who was named as the regent of Bohemia by the emperor. Many stories exist among the Czechs about how the young child was mistreated at the hands of the Margrave, and how this caused the king to suffer from bad health later in life. However, Professor Kateřina Charvátová, who has written a book on Wenceslas, says that these are myths.
He first took him to the castle of Bezděz, which was a luxurious fort at the time built by Přemysl Ottokar II, and held him in confinement away from influential figures. It is said that he was imprisoned. While he could not really talk to anyone, it is likely he received all the care he needed. However, as soon as Otto of Brandenburg decided to return to Brandenburg, he was taken to the fort of Spandau, which was also a luxurious for the time. The Chronicle of Zbraslav says he was maltreated and had to sew his own clothes and suffered from sickness and malnutrition. But that seems unlikely because relations between the two men after Wenceslas succeeded to the throne were very good. They were among the closest of confidants and friends.
While his confinement was likely befitting of a medieval king, Wenceslas was cut off from what was left of his family. It was only when he was 12 that he was allowed to return to Prague and reunite with his mother. However, she was now married to a man who had played a key role in betraying his father ahead of the Battle of Machfeld 5 years earlier, Zavish of Falkenstein. One would think that the teenage king would be eager to take revenge, but Professor Charvatová says that Wenceslas was at first accepting of Zavish.
Záviš, who had the reputation of a man who was responsible for the fall of Přemysl Otakar II by causing a rebellion of nobles against the king in 1276, which meant Přemysl could not defend his lands against Rudolf and had to give them up, ended up becoming the lover of Přemysl Otakar's widow. Wenceslas apparently started to love and admire him and gave him his privileges. Personally, I think Wenceslas, who was cut off from his family for so long, saw in Závish a bit of a stepfather. For a number of years, the family seems to have worked quite well.
Once he reached adulthood, however, Wenceslas did deal with the South Bohemian upstart. Apart from being in possession of great power, Závish also had a son with the widowed queen, and there was fear that he may reach out at the ultimate prize, the crown itself.
In 1290, Wenceslas decided to remove this figure. In one chronicle, it is said Závish was led by his bastard brother, who hated the man, from castle to castle, where he threatened to kill him if they did not surrender to the king. This ended up happening in front of Hluboká Castle, which was occupied by Závish's brother, who didn't believe it and refused to surrender, so Závish was beheaded.
Now firmly in control of the kingdom, the still young Wenceslas could rely on a large income of cash through the Bohemian silver mines, which were being fully exploited at the height of the 13th century. At peak production, they produced as much as 20 tons of silver a year. The king's administrative skills can be seen in the new royal mining code he issued in 1300, which is known as the Lus Regale Montanorum. Professor Charvatová explains the importance of these documents.
It is a book of laws, some of which survived well into 19th century Austria-Hungary. It laid out an 8-hour working period and included benefits for miners. Wenceslas did not create it. He had special Italian jurists invited to write it. Nevertheless, this interest of his does suggest he was highly educated. He was also pious and loved church liturgy.
Furthermore, the king also dealt with the issue of sharing power with the nobility. His father ruled his nobles with an iron fist, something that did not always gain the favour of the Bohemian aristocracy. Wenceslas devised a system in which the highest power was shared among a representative of the nobility and the clergy, thus avoiding the concentration of too much power in the hands of one man who was not the king. Aside from making progress in the internal issues within his kingdom, Wenceslas also succeeded diplomatically. He shifted the focus of Czech expansion from the south, a policy pursued by his father and grandfather, and instead looked east. He used his court diplomat, Bernard of Kamienice, who was well-versed in Polish affairs, to gain influence in Poland. After securing the Duchy of Krakow in 1291, he was later crowned King of Poland in 1296, following the murder of its Piast ruler. Whether Wenceslas had his fingers in the plot is unknown, but historians believe that the Brandenburg's House of Ascania was the more likely culprit. While he was strengthening his grip over Poland, the king also gained influence within the Holy Roman Empire. He exploited the elections of the new Holy Roman Emperor once Rudolf died to secure new territories in the west. With the death of Andrew the Venetian, the last Arpad king of Hungary, the crown of St. Stephen also started to capture Wenceslas's attention. However, now reaching out for a third crown, Wenceslas was seen as overstepping the boundaries, Professor Charvatová says.
Přemyslovci si, myslím, ukousli příliš mnoho z toho krajíce evropské politiky.
I think the Přemyslids bit off a bit too much of the cake of European politics. The emperor supported Wenceslas' rule over Poland. However, when it came to Hungary, he protested strongly against Wenceslas' claim and put himself on the side of the other candidates, the Angevin dynasty, which had been operating in Hungary for some time already.
In the end, the king had to secure the crown for his son, who had become Wenceslas III, but he could only rule effectively over the northwestern part of the kingdom and was forced to give the title up soon after his accession due to a dispute with the Angevin dynasty. Przemyslid dynasty's power stretching from the Danube to the shores of the Baltic Sea, Wenceslas II was one of the most powerful men in Europe, and his court was appropriately lavish, attracting many of the leading bards of the age. Although not literate, Wenceslas seems to have indulged in writing poetry himself, says Professor Charvatová.
On i sám se pokoušel psát, jsou známy tři jeho básně, které napsal v němčině.
He himself tried to compose poetry. We know of three poems accredited to him written in German, which was the court language at the time. We can find his name and picture in the 14th century Manes Codex, which features the famous poets, and he is there next a few other crowned figures.
Předcházejících dob, včetně těch několika korunovaných hlav, mezi nimiž je Václav.
Despite his many accomplishments, Wenceslas was a frail man and seems to have been plagued by a weak constitution his entire life. He died of tuberculosis at the age of only 33 in 1305. His only son, Wenceslas, was only 15 at the time. After going through what chroniclers describe as a rowdy period of drinking and partying, where estates were promised to friends at lavish banquets, the young ruler seems to have recovered his wits a year into his reign. However, he was murdered in Olomouc in 1306, just as he was preparing for a campaign in Poland. With his death, the male line of the Przemyslid dynasty, which had ruled Bohemia for more than 400 years, died out. A period of interregnum followed, during which the empire fell apart. Was this disintegration inevitable, or could the union between Poland and Bohemia have transformed into a more centralized state? Profesor Charvatová believes so.
Skutečně si myslím, že byla. A Václav sice...
I really think there was a chance. Wenceslas only ruled in Poland for 5 years, but his power started to crumble already at the time. The Piasts started countering the Bohemian king again under the leadership of Vladislav the Elbow High, who eventually became king. I think, however, that if Wenceslas had had more time, a Bohemian-Polish union was possible. Nevertheless, what was not possible was to also possess the Hungarian crown of St. Stephen.
Ještě i třetí korunu, to jest tu korunu uherskou.
And that edition of Czech History with Tom McEncrow brings us to the end of our program today here on Radio Prague. If you have any comments about our content, please do get in touch. Our email address is english@radio.cz. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and we'd be glad to hear from you there. I'm Brian Kennedy saying thanks for listening and goodbye for now.